Welcome again to our continuing series on Know Your Bible. We come now to one of the best loved books in the whole of the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. We call him the evangelist because he speaks so much prophetically of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say this, that this book can be basically broken up into three main parts. Part one is what we might call the prophetic chapters. The prophetic chapters where the prophet is speaking of sometimes the conditions in his own days. He moves on to declare what will happen to Israel in the future. And also, he speaks of other countries that are indeed around Israel and what their future will be too. Then, in division two, we have what we might term the historical events of the time of Isaiah, and essentially with King Hezekiah, that godly man who reigned at the end of the life of Isaiah. For Isaiah's prophetic ministry covered essentially four reigns: Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Well, Division 2 covers a very important epoch in the reign of Hezekiah. We'll look at that later on. And then in Division 3, we have a period, what we might call the Messianic chapters, from chapter 40 to chapter 66. Another interesting factor concerning Isaiah is this, that it has 66 chapters. And well, our eyebrows might be lifted there, because we realize, of course, that the Bible has a totality of 66 books. The Word of God is broken into the Old Testament and New Testament, and the Old Testament comprises 39 chapters. Well, Isaiah breaks also at its 39th chapter, and it has, as it were, the Old Testament and New Testament of Isaiah. And as we've said, Division 3, chapter 40 to chapter 66 is the New Testament of Isaiah, where its pages are essentially devoted to speaking of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Well, in this session, we're going to look at the first division. And if we can, we'll go into the second division. But here, in the first division, we have certain things written concerning the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the book of Isaiah, I believe more than any other book in the Word of God, proves that the Bible can only have been written by God himself, inspiring his prophets to declare things that were going to come to pass. Now, it's a proven fact that Isaiah was written, you know, at the time of Hezekiah, because of the discovery at the Dead Sea of scrolls of the prophet Isaiah, which were written 100 or so years before Christ. And they are literally so exactly as the text, the Hebrew text from which the Bible is translated into the English and other languages. Now look at these tremendous prophecies that Isaiah declared something like 800 years before the birth of Christ. Look what he says concerning Christ. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, he speaks of the conception of Christ as saying that a virgin shall conceive. It speaks, of course, of the fulfillment spoken of in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 21, where Mary was with child before she came together with Joseph. And Joseph was told that which is conceived in the womb of Mary is the Holy One, Emmanuel. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. And then look at some of these others. That he was called from the womb. And what a fantastic statement that was. But that's very true. He was named Jesus. The archangel said, call his name Jesus, when he was still in the womb. His birth. To us a child is born. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And then his development. You know, how did he grow? How did he mature? Well, in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 15, it says, butter and honey shall he eat, that he might refuse the evil and choose the good. Butter speaks of the abundance of milk. Milk speaks of the elementary teachings of the Word of God. Christ just fed himself upon the Word of God. And honey speaks, of course, of the Holy Spirit. You know, he was taught by the Holy Spirit and from a very young age. And then, you see, at the age of 12, in the temple, he was able to confound the doctors, Pharisees. They were amazed at his answers and his questions. Why? Because he had developed into, if I could say this, the Word of God made flesh. All this Isaiah speaks of. Well, there are other things that we want to consider in this session as to what Isaiah spoke of. In the early chapters, of course, it speaks of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, as we continue in those early chapters, we have interesting statements. In chapter 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, but unto us a son is given. You know, he didn't appear, he wasn't presented to Israel until he was a mature man of 30 years of age. And then look what it says. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All this was spoken of by Isaiah the prophet about 800 years before the birth of Christ. I'm going to ask you a question. Is there any other founder of a religious system who was predicted before his birth? No, not one. Not one. Not one. And yet, the founder of Christianity, his life, his title, his birth, his ministry, his sufferings was declared about 800 years before his birth. Does that not prove exclusively that Christianity is the true religion? This man, Jesus Christ, said, "You know, I'm the truth, the way, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me." Looking at Isaiah, and we shall see this in later sessions, how Isaiah speaks of the death and sufferings and resurrection of Christ. Look how he declares him, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Extraordinary, isn't it? That here, some 2,000 years after his death, we find Christianity flourishing as it's never done before throughout the world, going by quantum leaps in some countries. Extraordinary. And actually, we are anticipating an outpouring of the Spirit of God where the glory of God shall be manifested in every nation. You cannot examine the chapters of Isaiah and see these extraordinary prophecies concerning Jesus Christ without acknowledging that the Bible is the Word of God. What it claims to be, it is the Word of God. No one but God could use a man and cause from his lips inspired words to flow, declaring the coming of this man who was the Son of God. No. Only Christianity does that. Because only Christianity is true. Well, I want to pick up now another aspect, as I've mentioned, concerning Isaiah. Isaiah not only declares, you know, the birth and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, but in our next session, we should look at other extraordinary prophecies concerning Jesus Christ. But in this session, I want to look at another extraordinary, if I could say this, declaration by the prophet concerning the very days in which he was living. Now, I like to picture the scenario of these days so that we might appreciate the awesome things that flowed from the lips of this saintly man. Israel, you know, had been a kingdom, a united kingdom under David and Solomon. Because of Solomon's excesses, and of course, because of those, his heart turned away from God into idolatry. God declared to Solomon that at his death, he was going to divide that kingdom, the united kingdom of Israel, into two parts. The parts were going to be to the south, Judea, the capital city of Jerusalem, and to the north, the other 10 tribes, and they would have the capital of Samaria. Well, the northern tribes, right from the onset, went into idolatry. And therefore, God raised up principally a nation that was called Assyria. Today, it's part of Iraq in the northeast, with the capital city of, I beg your pardon, northwest of Iraq, the capital city of Nineveh. Well, God raised up these Assyrians, and their first king of note was Tiglath-Pileser. First, And he was raised up, and then his successors, Tiglath-Pileser III. And they were used to come against the northern kingdom and overrun them. And eventually under Sargon, Samaria fell. And then under later kings of Assyria, Esarhaddon and Ashurbanipal, there was a mighty exodus, shall I say. The people were taken into captivity, these northern 10 tribes, and they were dispersed amongst the other nations. And then these kings brought those nations to dwell in the land that we call Palestine. Now then, we still have the faithful southern kingdom of Judea. But they had greatly transgressed against God. In the reign of Ahaz, who was the father of Hezekiah, and they had gone into terrible idolatry. But now we have Hezekiah, who is the king. And Hezekiah turns to God with all his heart. At the age of 25, he became king. And they had a great revival. But you see, the country was still in an idolatrous situation, although Jerusalem was having this great revival at the beginning of the reign of Hezekiah. And then, through the lips of Isaiah, the prophecies came. I am going to bring against you Assyria. Against you Assyria. Now then, he also said this, but when I have finished my work on Judea, when I've punished them through the Assyrians, I myself, God said, will deliver you from the Assyrians, and you will not have to fight. And that was an extraordinary thing. And he also went on to say, I will send my angel to destroy the Assyrians. Now then, he had to have someone in Jerusalem, in authority, as king, who would stand firm and not yield to the Assyrians, so that what he said would be fulfilled. So he had to condition Hezekiah. And he conditioned him in this way. And these things are important for our own lives. They show us how God deals with us, you know, giving us a certain experience of him to equip us for greater things in our life, so that we will not yield, but we will stand, so that God can fulfill his purposes in our lives. He needs people who are strong, who are like pillars, who will in every circumstance stand, that God can fulfill his promises. Well, this is how God did it. Hezekiah came sick. And God sent Isaiah the prophet to Hezekiah the king and said, well, you're going to die. Set your house in order. Now, God is working in all things. So Hezekiah, when Isaiah said that, turned over, we're told, turned over in his bed with his face against the wall and prayed to God and said, look, I'm young. He was about 39 years of age. And he said, you know, what profit is there in my death? Am I going to praise you in the grave? So he cried out and he pleaded with God and said, look, he had walked righteously before God. Well, before Isaiah gets out of the court of the king, God speaks to Isaiah, go back to the king Hezekiah and tell him I will give him 15 more years, bringing his ultimate age to 54. Well, he goes back. And he said, in 3 days, you'll walk into the temple and worship God. Hezekiah said, look, I want a sign that this is going to happen to me. You know, I'm well nigh dying and near to death, and you tell me 3 days, I'm going to rise. Well, what happened was this. Isaiah said, well, would you like the sun to go forward 15 degrees or back 15 degrees? And Hezekiah, these are godly men. Hezekiah said, well, it's easy for the sun to go down. Of course, the sun has never gone down 15 degrees. But he said, let it go back 15 degrees. And here are the two men deciding what the sun's going to do. Well, of course, when Isaiah left Hezekiah, he prayed. He said, oh God, you heard the conversation. Now then, let that sun go back 15 degrees. Well, the sun did go back 15 degrees. So Hezekiah was strengthened, you see. God has spoken. Hezekiah believed, and the result was in 3 days, he was completely healed, and he was in the temple, as Isaiah had said. Well now, here we have a man very confident. God has spoken, and God said, you'll be healed. He sees a tremendous sign, the sun going back. He is conditioned now for the next test. And the next test is this. Here come the Assyrians under Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and they start running over his kingdom. They take every city in Judah, but they surround Jerusalem with about 180,000 men. Well, now, the general of the Assyrian army says to the people that Hezekiah sent to talk to them, he said, look, don't trust in Hezekiah, because there's no other God that has stood against my master. He said, come out, and we'll take you and put you into another country very similar to your own. He said, I'll give you 2,000 horses if you've got those 2,000 men, you know, to ride them. Because Hezekiah, you know, his army was very, very small in Jerusalem. But Hezekiah, you see, has been conditioned by God, and Hezekiah sends for Isaiah and says, well, what does God say? And, you know, back came the word of God through Isaiah, and he said, I'll send him back into his own country. He said, I will defend you, and I will cause the angel of the Lord to come out and slay these people. Well, these things did not happen immediately, and still the days went on. But then, at one moment, you know, Hezekiah's standing firm like a pillar. He's trusting God, and then God can send that angel out, slay the army around Jerusalem. And Sennacherib, who's defeated all the rest of Judea, when he sees, you know, 180,000 of his men slain in one night, well, what does he do? He slinks back to Nineveh. And the result was the nations came to Jerusalem to congratulate Hezekiah on his victory, but also on his healing. And I'm afraid it went to Hezekiah's head. He became proud. That's a terrible thing, you know, when God has done something wonderful for you, that you become proud. And the result was God was angry against Hezekiah. Now Hezekiah showed all his treasures to the kings of Babylon, who came to congratulate him. And the prophet Isaiah said, well, what do they see? He said, everything. And the prophet Isaiah said, yes. And he said, after you have died, your son will be taken prisoner into Babylon. That was Manasseh. and also all your treasures will be forfeited. All your treasures be forfeited. How important it is, therefore, then, that we understand the ways of God. You know, God passes us through experiences to toughen us, to make us stand in greater trials, that God can have the glory and accomplish what he's going to do. But, you know, the result of it was that Hezekiah became proud. He humbled himself afterwards, but then the judgment came, you see, in the reign of Manasseh. And so I want to say this in closing this session in Isaiah, a remarkable book. Declares the birth of Christ, declares the things that will happen, and also, you know, declares that the Assyrian army will be destroyed by the angel of the Lord. Causes the sun to go back 15 degrees. All these remarkable things. So I want to encourage you. Read Isaiah, and it will give you such comfort and faith to believe that a man could speak of things 800 years before they happen concerning the founder of Christianity, the Lord Jesus Christ. This book could only have been written by God himself through inspiring his servants to declare those things that will happen years later. If God can do those things, these people, cannot he watch over you? And the things he promises you, is he not able and will he not fulfill them as you remain faithful and steadfast and trust him? May God grant it. Amen.